Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. The Learning Center, a.k.a. this Monday night is Monday Night Live, because, again, we will be live tonight on Facebook. So thank you for joining us as we are wrapping up Deleting Distractions. This is all about back-to-school week. So make sure you have that down. Make sure you have your questions, your comments, your testimonies, all of those things prepared to share with us tonight. We are looking forward to just really being able to dive into all of it with you all. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring forth our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Are you there, sir?
I am.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
I am well, sir.
Good deal, good deal. So I do welcome everyone. We're about to get ready to go live in a minute. But in the meantime, in between times, I do welcome everyone to the call on this evening as we complete the week on Deleting Distractions Back to School Week. I know a lot of kids went back to school today or tomorrow, and, you know, it's been a big summer, and we're going to make it a great year as well, okay? Now, as we tell our children and prepare them and prep them for the things ahead this upcoming school year, we have to make sure we, too, stay in the presence of God. We're forever learning from God. So where there's learning, there has to be teaching, and where there's teaching, there has to be schooling.
Yes, sir.
All right, goes in order. So with that being said, deleting distractions is the topic. Make sure you have some type of scripture, even a testimony. I know everybody has a testimony. Your testimony could be that God woke you up this morning. Okay? But what does that have to do with deleting distraction? Well, didn't God do it? Because somebody wanted to delete you.
True.
The Bible says Satan desires to sift us as wheat, Peter. So here's the thing. Everybody has a testimony. Now, whether you're bold enough to share it or not, it's on you. But I just believe that when we have a heart of God, not a heart of gold, but when we have a heart of God, there's no way possible that the rest of the body can't line up. In other words,
Amen.
Our lips will start to part to share the gospel, to tell people what God has done for you, even in reference to this topic alone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Deleting distraction. Miss Candy, you want to open this up with prayer, please?
Certainly. Father, we thank you for this time together tonight, Lord. We thank you in advance for every word that is going to go forward tonight, Lord. We pray that everything that is said over this line is in line with you, Lord. Lord, speak through us all, Lord. Give us exactly what it is that you want us to deliver tonight, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, that each and every person here is empowered with the spirit of boldness to boldly speak for you, Lord, to speak out their testimonies, Lord, to also be able to openly come before you tonight, Lord. Lord, let the spirit of fear leave from us right now. Let that spirit of shyness leave from us right now, Lord. Anything that is keeping us back from being able to speak openly and honestly for you, Lord, we pray right now that you would remove it and allow us to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So deleting distractions. All right. So if y'all have the Facebook, y'all can go ahead and get on live now. Because we are live, Miss Candy. I think we are.
All right. We are going live.
Okay. It's all over the place.
I got it.
All right, so with that being said, y'all, this is Deleting Distractions, okay? So I ask that everybody out there on Facebook land and wherever you are, okay, even if you're on the phone line, you can call in at 225-364-0211. And, y'all, this week we have been talking about deleting those distractions back to school weekend. Y'all know we encounter a lot of distractions, so we're going to keep it plain and simple. If we have questions, Ms. Candy, I ask that you keep me informed about it because I can't do two things at one time when it comes to this. I really want to focus in on the word. So if we have questions, y'all, send those in through Facebook Live, all right? So for the time being, y'all know how we do it. We have Mr. DJ all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. DJ, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, sir. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, when it comes to this topic, in brief, what have you gained from this topic here, deleting distractions?
Well, and this is for me personally. My biggest distraction is myself. I'm probably the only one that would admit that, but I find myself always wanting to do the right thing.
Okay.
And I always strive to do the right thing, but when things don't go my way, I tend to act differently towards my fellow man and even myself. What I mean by that is, if you've ever woken up and had a good day, everything is going fine, and then somebody says something to you, or one incident occurred, and it ruins your whole day. That's me. And I realized what was going on, and I need to take myself out of the equation. This morning, a similar situation happened that way, and then I stopped. I caught myself when thinking about this topic. I said, you know what? You can make this a good day or a bad day. The choice is yours. What you need to do is realize it's not about you. Christ suffered, and he was perfect. They persecuted him, and he was perfect. So eliminate the distractions about the little stuff. Just let it go. Let it go. If you expect to have a perfect day every day, then you're fooling yourself. So what I did was eliminate those distractions. And one thing I did find out, if you're not whining and letting something beat you down, the devil will leave you alone. See, you only give him fuel when you complain it. So that's his job. If one thing happens and then you thrown off and now you irritated and got an attitude with somebody else, it's contagious. Somebody has to stop it. So be the one to stop it. And who controls that? Me. I control myself. And what happens is we take our eyes off of the Father and start focusing on ourselves. So eliminating those distractions will definitely make a huge difference. And you don't have to worry about disobedience if you just keep your eyes on the Father. Keep your hand in him and realize everybody is not perfect. Things are not going to go the way. What's common sense to you is not common sense to somebody else. Apparently. And then, who knows, I might be wrong. You know, I could be in the wrong. So that's why I was saying, when we take us down and push him up, we shouldn't have those issues. So that's what I took from the topic and from this week.
Okay, so let's keep in mind, y'all, again, this topic, this is an open floor discussion. We are live on Facebook, so we do ask for the people out there on Facebook to share it. And also, to ask questions or even share a testimony or scripture. Okay, we'll get to those. Ms. Candace should be reading those to me. All right? And that's how we're going to do this tonight. So when we talk about deleting distractions, let's keep it simple, people. Okay, this is Monday Night Live. Deleting distractions. The DJ just alluded to that. Okay, a distraction. Y'all can write this down if you choose to. Okay, a distraction is anything that takes our focus or attention off of God.
Amen.
That's all a distraction is. Okay? Anything that takes our focus or attention off of God is a distraction. Your success can be a distraction. Your looks can be a distraction. Things that are negative that bring you down can be distractions. But in the same token, things that are positive that get you to the point to where you're arrogant, to where you're ego-tripping, mm-hmm. can be a distraction. Distraction.
Amen.
Okay? Because a lot of times we think that a distraction is always something negative, Mr. DJ. We think that a distraction is something that is meant to knock us off our rocker. We think that a distraction is something that is meant to get us off track in the sense of the direction that we're going. It's to harm us. A distraction can actually be something that catapults you into something or position that you shouldn't be in just yet. I don't think y'all heard. Huh? Y'all do know the man, you know, King David. See, he wasn't easily distracted. He deleted his distractions. As a matter of fact, King David went right back to the shed in which he was anointed. He was anointed to be king, and he went right back to work as if he was a peasant.
That's right.
All right.
Sure did.
Do y'all understand that? Y'all know when somebody say we blessed and highly favored, that means I'm not doing that little Peter Pan job no more. I don't want the little small stuff. See, now the distraction is who? Us. And that's the very thing that we have to delete. Because is not about what you want. Remember, anything that takes your attention and focus off of God is a distraction. So that means we can be our own distraction if we're not careful.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay. Now, with that being said, y'all, we also have Miss Tiana. Miss Tiana, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Mr. Carr. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And real brief, can you do that for me? Real briefly, less than 20 seconds, give me a synopsis of your week in review, deleting distractions.
Absolutely. It was a friendly reminder of when I got a great opportunity career-wise. And as you were just saying, things that lift you up, how easily they can be distractions, taking me away from what I was doing before that opportunity came, which was constantly living in the Word of God. So it's very easy for those distractions to come. We just have to realize and catch them as they're happening so that we can reflect back on where we really need to be.
Okay. So distractions. So here it is. Okay. It can be that very thing that also, you're right, Ms. Kathy, it can be that very thing that also lifts us up. For instance, women out there. Okay, y'all listen to this. By phone or by way of Facebook Live, again, on the phone line, we are 225-364-0211. Okay, a distraction can be somebody telling you everything that you want to hear.
Yes. Yes.
I know that. Everything that you want to hear can be a distraction. Uh-huh. It's called the gift of gab. In other words, I'm going to tell you exactly what you want to hear to distract my real intentions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know him, and you don't know him, and you're going to say he's such a good guy. You know what? On the first night, he didn't even ask to come in. On the second night, he came in, and we slept on two separate sides of the bed. That's a distraction. I'm doing and saying everything that you want to hear. I know what time it is.
Right.
But you got to keep your eyes on the prize. Miss Candy, I want to get to the first email question. So y'all get ready for these, all right? So again, Facebook Live. This is our first time on Facebook Live on Monday Night Raw. And here it is, deleting distractions. If you have any questions about this topic, please type it in the comments below. So let's get to it. Miss Candy, what's the first email question that we have, please?
Okay, sir. Do want to say thank you for answering that question that came via Facebook Live. And we have another question here that's, how can doing the work of God be a distraction? Aren't Christians supposed to live a life of service?
Wow. So the question is, and I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana, how can doing the work of God be a distraction?
Yes, sir. And then it says, aren't Christians supposed to live a life of service?
Okay, Ms. Tian, I'm going to start with you.
Absolutely. It can easily become a distraction because we can pour everything into it, into that service that we believe is a work of God. Yes, God calls us to be servants. We're supposed to do things for others. We're to put Him first. As we'll say, what, Him first, others second, ourselves last is what we say. But in doing so, we can get so caught in that service that we forget to even talk to Him. We forget whom He is in and through the situation. We don't even go. We may not even go back to Him and confirm, Lord, is this where you still need me to be? Because we get so caught up in that service. We get caught up in the acknowledgement of the service that we're doing. The things that we are to be doing unto God shouldn't even be really even announced. It should just be done and we keep on going. But we get caught up in that. We get caught up in the title. We get caught up in I'm doing this, 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 and become the I instead of focusing on whom it's really for. So in those instances is when doing the work of God, we start calling it that, except we're doing the work for our acknowledgement instead. That's when it becomes a distraction.
Okay. Ms. Candy, can you repeat that question for everybody on Facebook Live so that they can hear it? And I want Facebook Live to also gather your questions or even comments, okay? And then, Mr. DJ, I'm coming straight to you with that question. Ms. Candy, please.
How can doing the work of God be a distraction? Aren't Christians supposed to live a life of service?
Mr. DJ, what you got?
I'm going to
for conversation's sake, say that doing the work of God is not a distraction. I'm going to say, yes, Christians are supposed to live a life of service, but you're all supposed to praise God. You're supposed to do the work of the Lord. That is a double-sided question to me, because I totally agree with Ms. Tiana. If you're doing the work of God, that's not the distraction. The distraction comes in when you're doing stuff for self, when you're doing things that you think is for God, but hidden, you're doing it for gratification so that you can get the thank yous. I helped. I did this. Look at what I did, when actually it's not you. Everything that you do is through God. So when you start leaving God out of it, even though on the front side you may be saying it's for God, I brought this to the church. I brought this up to the to these people. I did this and I did that. Then you're not, no. And when you do things for God, you don't need an acknowledgement. You're obedient. You don't keep doing this and say, hey, God, look at what I did. I did this for you. I did that for you. So that therefore the God is not in it. So again, if you're doing something truly for God, then that's not a distraction. But once you put the other elements into it, then yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Repeat that question for me one more time.
Yes, sir. How can doing the work of God be a distraction? Aren't Christians supposed to live a life of service?
Facebook Live. Is it possible to do the work of God and it be a distraction? Can you doing God's work be a distraction? That's good. Let me answer this, y'all. You could be doing the work of God and it can totally be a distraction. Case in point. God is telling somebody right now to tithe, pay their tithes and offering. Don't get off Facebook Live because I just said tithes and offering. Don't run. We like the blessing, and the Bible said it's better to give than to receive. So give God too now. Okay?
That's right.
So you know you can be doing godly work, and you can also say, I'm doing God's work, and I'm sowing seed over where I need to be sowing seed. I'm helping the homeless. I got relatives staying with me. I'm doing everything that God asked me to do. But is that the distraction? Why are you not doing the tithe and offering? And we make excuses and we say, but I'm tied in other ways. Really? So we think that by doing the work of God, by taking people in, by helping where we need to be helping it, and we want to use that as a distraction, as if God is blind to us not paying our tithes and offering.
Yes, sir.
Can doing the work of God be a distraction? Absolutely. 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 A lot of times we use the word of God to detour us from what we're really supposed to do. In other words, you know, y'all know I got to go to church tonight, so I can't come and help you. You know, good and well, yes, going to church is perfect, but you know you are the church, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. It's quite as funny how you'll tell your friends that when you don't want to help them move and unpack. But it's mighty funny you won't tell. let me preface my words right, because I don't want nobody to run. It's mighty funny we won't tell our job there when it's time for us to go to work that you know I got to go to church, huh?
Come on.
Come, Mr. DJ.
That's right.
Can doing the work of God be a distraction? Yeah, especially when we're trying to use the word of God as deceitful, as a tool. You know, how we say. Can nobody on Facebook Live talking to me yet? That's okay. Let me get everybody's attention then. Y'all know how we do it. When we really don't want to do something, we tell somebody, well, you know my auntie in the hospital, I got to go see her. You wasn't going to the hospital no way. We understand that, and we dare somebody challenge us on that. We do the same thing when it comes to the word of God. We use the word of God as a distraction. In other words, we become holy as in thou and say, don't distract me right now. Don't bother me right now. You ain't say that last night when you was doing something that you shouldn't have been doing.
All right.
Right.
As a matter of fact, can we take it to the scripture? Can we take it there? 1 Timothy, please. Mr. DJ, Miss Tiana, watch this. 1 Timothy, y'all write this down out there. 1 Timothy 3 and 5. 1 Timothy 3 and 5. Again, 1 Timothy 3:5. Y'all got to talk to me on Facebook. Where my crew at? Y'all ain't talking either. Y'all talk to me now. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:5. Look what it says, Mr. DJ. It says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?
Amen.
Lord have mercy. I'm going to say this again.
All right.
I didn't make this scripture up, y'all. It says in 1 Timothy 3:5, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? I don't think that you can use the word of God, huh, as a distraction.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we use it as a distraction all the time. In other words, we say we're holier than thou at the church, but do you know how to manage your family? You know, Miss Brandy, she got a right chair that starts at home. Do you know how to manage your family? So in other words, you're using the scope of God that I have a title, that I go to church. Because the first question we ask people is, do you go to church? And we let that be our barometer, as if that's good enough for us to be in a relationship or even talk to you, is if you go to church. It's not, it, do you go to church? It is, the question should be, can you manage your home?
Mm. Amen.
Y'all don't want that? And so we use the word of God as a distraction. In other words, as long as I'm serving pastor, everything go okay. And your house is tore up from the floor. It ain't okay. Y'all need another scripture to back that one up? I got one for you, Mr. DJ, Miss Tiana, and I'm going to let y'all jump in here. Y'all write this one down. 1 Timothy. Again, look at it. 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8. The Bible says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In other words, we say hallelujah, I'm blessed and highly favored. But the Bible is saying, if you do not provide for your own relatives, and especially for your own household, you have denied the faith of God, and you are far worse than an unbeliever. But see, here's the watch this, y'all. Here's the deception. It's like a no-look pass, like Magic Johnson used to do. Huh? We use the word of God as a cover-up. It's a distraction. In other words, we don't want people to see how really filthy we are, so we stay far away from our relatives. We stay far away from our house, and we make sure we take care of the church. But see, how can you take care of the church when your auntie, Dick, how can you take care of the church when your uncle need a little help? You are so much a pastor, but you won't even take care of your own relatives. Something is wrong with you.
All right. Say that.
Yeah, this is 1 Timothy 5:8. Don't get mad at me. You treat your own family like they are some type of alien, like they have a disease, they have some type of pestilence on them. But then we use the word of God as a distraction. Not only does it distract others, the Bible says don't deceive yourself. You're distracting your own self, because at the root of what's really in you, see, how can you love people that God put you on this natural earth to be your natural family? How can you love outsiders, huh, and not even love your own relatives? It's mighty funny how we take care of the church and we can't even help our cousin and aunties and friends who are on the corner. I understand they might not have situations that might not be as perfect as you would want them to be, but you don't know how the pastor living either. How are you taking care of the church and not, see the distraction?
Yes, sir.
Y'all see the distraction? This is not anti-church. We're going to keep it real all the way around. Because if you understand, you understand this, deleting distractions. Look at Jesus' life. Who did he take care of? And who did he challenge?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He challenged the church.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, he went to the church and flipped over tables.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Yeah. This is Monday Night Live, Mr. DJ and Miss Tiana. Y'all going to take this over. Any email questions anymore? What we got out there? Any callers?
Yes,
what we got? I know Miss LaTanya had one. What we got?
I have a question. She posted it to the feed. The question is, since I've become engaged to my fiance, I find myself spending less time reading, studying my Bible, and less quiet time with God. I've spoken with him about this, but he doesn't see anything wrong with it. How do I go forward in the relationship?
Mr. DJ, I'm going to let you answer that one.
Well,
if that's your fiance, I thought I heard that word.
Yes, sir.
You all will not prosper as a couple unless God is present. You should go to your fiance, and you all should go to God together. You have to make time for God personally. You got to do that, because otherwise you're living for that man and not for God. I mean, and he should be the first one. He's supposed to be the man in a relationship. He's supposed to be the spiritual leader. So if he doesn't see anything wrong with it, and you're finding yourself drifting away, and he's not trying to help you get closer to God, then you might want to prolong that engagement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Ms. Tiana, what you got?
I absolutely agree with Mr. DJ. Definitely concerned if your fiance is just okay with you bringing that situation to him and saying, well, that's all right. You don't have to worry about spending more time with God. There's definitely something to step back and truly approach, because as a spiritual leader in the relationship, he should be the one guiding that. And if you say that, then be the one to help drive you forward. In any relationship, right, we are, and in any marriage, we're called to be equally yoked. We're supposed to be, not to say you're going to be at the same level, but you should be driving towards that connection with God. And if he's not there driving with you, then there's definitely something of concern.
Okay. Ms. Candy, can you repeat that question for me one more time? Y'all, again, who's just tuning in, this is called Deleting Distractions. Okay. What you got, Ms. Candy?
Okay. The question says, since I've become engaged to my fiance, I find myself spending less time reading, studying my Bible, and less quiet time with God. I've spoken with him about this, but he doesn't see anything wrong with it. How do I go forward in the relationship?
See, I got it. Y'all about to get mad at me. Women, don't get mad at me. Fellas, don't be dap me up. Let's get to it. Because a lot of times we like to place blame. And this whole week we've been talking about deleting distractions. Do you know that a distraction is always to point fingers at somebody else?
Yep.
So we got to get to the real business. See, ain't nobody talking on Facebook Live, but that's okay. I'm going to talk to y'all. Okay? So the fiancé is to blame? Because the question says, since I've been engaged, I find myself, yeah, and he doesn't see nothing wrong with it. See, let's do this in chronological order. I like to talk real talk. See, in other words, he didn't force you to. It's just the fact that he didn't see nothing wrong with your decision. So that means you ultimately made the decision. He just didn't say nothing about it.
All right.
Okay. I don't think y'all hear me. Come on. Come on, Miss Katina. Tell him she is her own distraction. Tell him, Miss Katina. Because, see, here's the thing. The Bible says, be ye equally yoked. And since you in the Word, you're already reading the Word of God, right? Since you was already reading the Word of God, so it was that man that was a distraction to you? You knew by reading the Word of God that you should be equally yoked, so you're waiting for him to find something wrong with what? Because if the shoe was on the other foot, would you find something wrong with it? Y'all, it's mighty funny. Can I go there for a second? Deleting distractions.
Go ahead. Please.
Mighty, mighty funny. See, we have a problem with people cheating on us, but we don't have a problem with being the guilty corporate of that cheating when it comes to God. In other words, see, you can have sex with me, deleting distractions. You know that premarital sex is a distraction. As a matter of fact, we don't think that it's a distraction. We think that it's necessary to have sex before you get married. Look at all them doggone distractions out there. Look at it. I'm over there. Ain't that something? But here's the problem with, come on, deleting distractions. I know I'm stepping on some toes, Ms. Candy. Watch this. Here's the problem. We'll get mad at them when they cheat on us. But when are you going to get mad at yourself for cheating on God?
Amen. Okay.
Hello, somebody.
That's right.
Because when you have premarital sex, the same God that you say you was in a relationship with, you just cheated on him.
Mm-hmm.
for cheating on God up until you quote unquote get married. Oh my. Come on, y'all don't have to like it. We're gonna keep it real over here though. We're gonna keep it 1,000. What they say, 1,000? We're gonna keep it real. So we'll get mad at somebody else for disrespecting us and talk about my body is sacred. They got too many diseases going on. You right. They got a lot of spiritual diseases going on too. Did you give it to them?
Yes. Yes.
Did you give them the spiritual disease called unfaithfulness? How am I being unfaithful? You wasn't faithful to God when you slept with them.
Amen.
Okay.
Huh? So the question was, let's repeat that question, Ms. Candy. Let's repeat the first part.
Okay. Question says, since I've become engaged to my fiancé, I find myself spending less and less time reading, studying my Bible, and less quiet time with God.
So you mean to tell me somebody has the power to take your attention away from God? Cool. See, nobody has power, more power than God. What you focus on grows. We said this all week. Whatever you if you focus on fear, fear grows. If you focus on money, money grows. If you focus on your physical flesh, it grows. Whatever you focus is on grows. So since you've been engaged, you've been reading less. So now you're focusing on your relationship, not your relationship with God, but your relationship with your significant soon-to-be other, right?
Right. Yes.
The Bible says that we should put no idols before God. Don't you know you can make somebody an idol, and idols are distractions?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get mad at the person. You got to get mad at yourself because they didn't do anything wrong. See, it doesn't matter. Satan wants your attention too. Do you give it to Satan? So, see, you can't get mad at somebody else for desiring something that you don't want to give.
Mm.
You freely gave that. Let me say it again. You freely gave that.
Right.
So you used to be real, Lord. You used to be real, Lord. You used to be real deep in God. You used to go to church, and not the physical buildings, but you are the church. You was in your word. You prayed. You was diligent. You was steadfast. You was sold out. You just was in God. Now all of a sudden, here comes the relationship. The relationship ain't the distraction. The distraction is where you place the relationship.
Okay. Amen.
Hello, somebody. The relationship is not a distraction. It's where you place the relationship. When the relationship comes before God, it will look, it's called show and tell. How do you know the relationship is before God, Mr. DJ? Who you give more time to?
That's right.
All right.
You just said you don't study like you used to. Now, repeat, what's the rest of that question, Ms. Candy?
The second part of the question says, I've spoken with him about this, but he doesn't see anything wrong with it. How do I go forward in the relationship?
He doesn't see anything wrong with it because he's receiving from it. So he, too, is distracted by you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Did you know that somebody can be a distraction in the relationship? Your partner can be the distraction in the relationship. They can be distracting you, but you also can be distracting them.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
Huh? Thank you, Ms. Shabri, for sharing that 1 John 2 and 15. Do you understand that you too can be a distraction to them? So you've spoken to somebody about something. So what do you want him to do? I thought when we know better, we do better. So you want that man to do what? Let me ask this question again. You want that man to do what? I don't care who it is. If you get in the way of God, I don't need you to motivate me to get things right. I know that you get in the way of me and God. I'm going to motivate me and say, hey, I got to chill out with you for a second. I don't need you to tell me that. I thought my relationship was between God, not me, you, and God. Lord have mercy. Y'all not married yet. So how is it me, you, and God? Oh, y'all don't like the truth tonight? Nobody don't like the truth?
It ain't.
Mm-hmm. Y'all see the little pitter-pat excuses that we use? So I told my mate about it, and I told him that, you know, I don't read as much, and he don't have nothing to say about it. I thought you was going before God on your own. As I understand, you're not even married to this man yet. So when you're going to God on your own, you need somebody else to tell you, hey, get it right. You serious right now? Your life is on the line. Eternity is on the line. Heaven and hell is on the line. And you need a middle person to tell you what you already know.
Yes,
wow. That's interesting. That's interesting. See, the problem is you have made that man your God.
Yep.
You created the distraction. He didn't create that distraction. You did.
Yes, sir. Okay.
You know how people say, well, R. Kelly wanted to be famous? R. Kelly, he may have wanted it, but guess who gave him the power? He ain't famous to me because I don't buy his stuff. He's famous to those who focus on him. I don't focus on him. Y'all don't want to hear the truth. I see you, Ms. Denise. Don't want to hear the truth. Let's get to it, Mr. DJ. All right, anybody have any testimonies, any questions? Y'all talk to me. Again, tonight's topic is deleting distractions. This is back to school weekend. We talk about how we want our kids to be focused when they go to school. What about us as adults? How focused should we be in the Word of God? Ms. LaTanya had a question, Ms. Candy. Can you read that, please?
Yes, sir. Says, my son has been getting in trouble at school, and his grades are also dropping. I've taken away the distractions of extracurricular activity and video games, television. What else can I do to help him?
That's a good one. I'm going to get straight to it. I'm going to get to Ms. Tiana. Ms. Tiana, help us out with that question, please.
Sure. Son's grades dropping in school. Get rid of the external distractions. But do we understand, I think you still have, there's some more digging deeper that needs to occur to really understand what those distractions are. The distractions that you've pulled away are the stuff that should be at home. If anything, those are not necessarily in the classroom. So where are those distractions really pending from? And I think that's the conversation that needs to be had. Is he bored in school? Are there things happening in the classroom? Not to put it on anyone else, but you need to have that conversation. Is he focused? What's the things that he needs to be focused? And really, really driving into that conversation than just presuming that it's the things. Because if you're taking away the things and nothing's happened, well, then there's something else going on. And one, of course, we always take it to God, but you need to also have that conversation with your child as well.
Okay. Mr. DJ, Ms. Candy, can you repeat that question one more time so everybody can catch up? And then Mr. DJ.
My son has been getting in trouble at school, and his grades are also dropping. I've taken away the distractions of extracurricular activity and video games, television. What else can I do to help him?
Okay, I would say, first of all, you need to set some real consequences. That's number one. Number two, what you can do as a parent is get involved. Don't let it be just up to the teacher about his lesson. Get involved. Mm-hmm. Go talk to the teacher in front of him and then find out what is he supposed to be doing. What is the lesson? You know, if this is a homework, son, you need to come in here. I don't see you doing your homework. Or do you understand it? Go over it with him. Oftentimes, kids are distracted, and that's the reason. They're neglected. Now, yes, you can love your child, which is a distraction, and you want to shower them with a lot of stuff that you didn't have, but the greatest thing that you can give to a child, I mean the greatest thing, is knowledge, affection. You introduce them to God, yes. But again, they're not old enough to understand all the principles of God. They have to look at you. You're the living example. Don't just assume that he's in there doing that homework when he's in there playing the video game. You have to be active. When your child comes home, check the book bag. Go through it. Show me your homework. Let's go over this together. So, you know, those are some of the things, again, you have to kind of point at self and say, I need to grab a hold of this. Let us pray together, and I need to get a hold of this. Let me see what I can do.
Uh-huh.
All the other stuff is added bonus. But make sure you're right first and doing what you need to do to get to the root of that problem. Because you just take away the game, they'll find game somewhere else. You're not sitting there in the classroom with them. Oftentimes when kids are acting up in school, it's because of lack of parent involvement. That's just my take on it.
That's a good one. Miss Candy, can you repeat that one more time?
Certainly, sir. My son has been getting in trouble at school, and his grades are also dropping. I've taken away the distractions of extracurricular activity and video games, television. What else can I do to help him?
Wow, so you've taken away extracurricular and video games. I like what Mr. DJ said, and I also like what Mr. Tiana said. Okay. Mr. DJ said, let's go over this together. Man, this is a, y'all, this is very valuable. Parents, I can't teach y'all to raise a child, as you know, but God can. Parents, let's do this together. Mr. DJ, I totally agree with you. I'm of this proponent when we talk about deleting distractions. Monkey see, monkey do.
All right.
In other words, when your child go to school, you should go to school.
Amen.
In other words, I don't have to call a teacher to see if it's right. I'm learning when they learn. I'm going over whatever they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Problem, a big problem, is a distraction is, see, we want to take away from our children, but we, our kids don't see us taking away from us when we fail. Uh-oh. Let me say that one more time. Y'all hear that?
Yes, sir.
We reward ourselves when we fail in front of our child. When we fail in this called L-I-F-E, we reward ourselves. We cheat. It don't matter how we get it. But our children see us rewarding ourselves. How can we go back and take away when they fail?
Amen.
Y'all, that's like an oxymoron to their child. In other words, that's a form of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get to you, Miss Kathy and Miss Shira. Okay? So here's the thing. When your child go to school, you got to go to school. Let me make it plain and simple. As a matter of fact, before we even came to the school of life, Jesus did. As a matter of fact, now that we're in the school of life, he still has a helper. Our helper is called the Holy Spirit. In other words, as much as we go through, God is going through it with us. Oh,
yeah.
I will never leave nor forsake you. Uh-oh. Y'all see the what I'm giving right here? Your child may go to school naturally. We go to school spiritually. If God has never left you and he's going through your curriculum of life with you and never will leave you, why don't we go through the same curriculum of life with our children? But you know what the distraction is? My title and my laziness. In other words, I'm your mama, I'm your daddy. I don't have to do it. You need to do it.
That's right.
And then just the mere fact that I'm lazy. I didn't work too hard. I don't have time for this today. Did you do your homework? They can tell you, yeah, all day. Mm-hmm. You don't even know what it is they should be learning to even quiz them.
Come on.
Oh, my. Ain't that something, people? When you test your kids at home, don't you know it's easier for them to test in school? As a matter of fact, God tests us. That's why we okay, huh?
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, Miss Candy. What email, what question we had next? I know Miss Sharon had one.
Yes, sir. That question is, does God use distractions as tests to get our attention?
I'm going to start with you, Mr. DJ.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes, he does, to get our attention. There are certain things that he will allow to happen to show you. You keep being hard-headed. You know, I sometimes wonder if God is up there like, what do you want now? You know, why do you keep bothering me with this? I done told you already what you had to do. You keep asking me for money. Get a job. You have to get up off your butt and go get it. I'm not going to just drop this on you. Okay, I tell you what. Since you're that irresponsible to where you don't even want to go look for a job, let me bless you with this.
and then you're going to ruin it and be back depressed all over again. It's like there's no pleasing us. And I'm saying this because distractions, again, when we want what we want, if we were to just learn to take ourselves out of that equation and be obedient, that discipline, we could get that discipline and be obedient, everything that you desire will come to you.
Uh-huh.
But yes, there are distractions of good and bad. And what I'm saying good and bad, not for what God said, I'm saying that what we as humans call good and bad. It may be a disaster. Someone may get sick. Then somebody, you may see somebody blessed with something. It's several things out there, but yes, absolutely. When you take your eyes off of him, that's when we get in trouble.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll repeat that same question from Miss Tiana. Miss Tiana, we want to keep it kind of brief so we can get to the rest of these questions right quick.
Does God use distractions as tests to get our attention?
Absolutely he does. Quickly defined, distraction is a temptation. Distraction is a blessing. Those are things that easily we can focus on them instead of him. So quite easily uses distractions as a testing ground. And it's to determine.
Just let stuff ride out there, y'all. I just heard you say distraction was a temptation and a blessing. Which one is it?
It can be both.
Oh, it can be both. Okay. I like that. I like that, Miss Tiana. I found something tonight, y'all. Woo, she owes something.
And Mr. Carter. I was just saying that when she said that, it struck a nerve because that's temptation to sin. And you can ask yourself this all the time, but, you know, God has the power to basically eliminate the devil, so why is he still around? So, yes, absolutely. He allows distractions, yes. Yes, he does, as a test. If you can't get it right down here, you certainly ain't going to get it right up there with him.
So, Miss Tiana, explain
yes,
it. Explain real quickly, just in brief now, about 15 seconds. How is distraction a temptation?
Absolutely. Does anything, if the devil is using it towards you to capture your attention, that's the distraction. You know you're not supposed to be eating that Milky Way, but that bad boy shows up on your desk because a kid brought it to you. It's something nice for you, your teacher. There's that temptation, there's that distraction.
Okay. Y'all know what's so interesting with what she just said? Is we are the same individual, but the more we mature, that same piece of candy that used to distract us no longer.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I think it's vital that everybody understands this, okay, that temptations come by way of our own lust and desires. In other words, Satan, listen to this, Satan cannot tempt you where you don't have a desire.
Amen.
We give Satan too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
We give temptation too much credit. Temptation is saying, I like that, God. I like that, devil. Whatever God knows, see, God lets the business out there. You know why he lets your business out there to Satan? Because Satan can't stop it. You can only allow Satan to stop it when you let down your guard.
Amen.
Come on. Okay? Miss Tiana, with that being said, that's temptation as a distraction. How is temptation,
yeah.
I mean, how is a distraction a blessing?
Oh, easily. You've been praying for that brand new job, that big money, that big promotion. Now you've gotten it. All your focus is on that. You've forgotten whom you've been asking for, who you've been praying to, who's actually gotten you there in the first place. Now you're completely distracted by that new thing instead of focusing on him.
So how's that a blessing, though?
Because for as the individual, you take that as a blessing. You've received this blessing and this new opportunity, and that blessing is what's distracting you.
I think you're confusing that. No.
Okay.
You're confusing. That is a temptation. Let me help you out with this. Temptation, a distraction can be a blessing. In other words, you know what's a blessing? You know, you ever seen somebody when they lost something or someone, and they just ailing in their pain. And the Bible says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in. See, here comes the distraction. God has sent a distraction to get your mind off of something that shouldn't be on. In other words, we weeping and crying, but God will send something your way to get your attention off the weeping and crying and to where you start to rejuvenate yourself. You swell up in the spirit. Your faith starts to rise, and eventually you're okay again. Ms. Shiren, please. I'm good, Ms. Shiren. Y'all follow me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So hey. Can I give another example then? Thank you for that.
Okay, what you got?
I've seen it where someone who is in mourning and is in that sour place, but God sends a memory. God sends someone to make them laugh, sends something that completely then distracts them from that theme so that they have that joy in their lives again.
That's right. The first time you didn't use it correctly. Oh, it's much like when a child is about to, as a matter of fact, it only has to be a child. It can be an adult. When you're about to get blood drawn and you don't like them needles, the distraction is something over there. They make you look elsewhere and, try and distract you so that they can bless you. Yeah, see, that's a blessing. Because had you been focusing on that needle, you may jump.
Right.
Okay. Now, the more we grow in God, the more we become mature, the harder it is for distractions to come our way. In other words, the more you mature, the easier it is to delete distractions. See, kids get distracted easily. Now, if that's in the natural, you know that's in the spiritual as well, right? As we mature in God, it's harder for Satan to distract us. How do you know that you're mature in God? Well, the question is, how easily distracted are you spiritually?
All right.
Y'all got it?
So, Mr. Carr, just to be clear, what you're saying is, did we clarify that temptation is not a blessing? Is that what you're saying, that temptation is not a blessing?
Temptation can be used as a blessing, but at first glance, it's not a blessing. It can be used. Remember what the devil meant for evil, for your downfall, God meant for good. So you can see that temptation as, hold on, man, I shouldn't be desiring a lesson after that. Thank you, God, for revealing that to me, because I almost slipped. Or I did slip, and now I know I see my weaknesses. God, the devil tempted me, and I fell prey to it no longer. So temptation can be a blessing. Depends on
okay.
the individual.
Got it.
Okay. All righty. What was that other email question, Ms. Candy?
Certainly, sir. It says, I have a son that's 22, went to church and was even baptized, but at the age of 18, he says he don't believe in God. What can I do?
He went to church when? When did he go to church?
That is not clear, sir. But I
read it. Up to 18. Sounds like she said up until 18.
Okay. Repeat that question.
22.
Yeah. I have a son that's 22, went to church and was even baptized, but at the age of 18 says he don't believe in God. What can I do?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to answer this one. Here's the thing. All you can do is keep on being mama, daddy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The topic is deleting distractions. That's your son. But the Bible says when you lift God up, when we lift God up, he will draw. It ain't nothing you can do to make nobody do nothing. Let me tell y'all something. My sister,
yes.
My sister, I don't know. I'm like, cry. Because when we'll catch a whipping, cry leaves mama a stop. My sister would not cry. So it don't matter how much you want to chastise them, they don't have to if they don't want to.
Right.
I don't think you hear me. God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. In other words, God blesses those who are justified in him and those who are not justified in him. But they're still called a place, as a child, thank you, Miss Kathy, called hell. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is keep on being that living example. Because ultimately, that child is God's. Naturally, is yours. But what's more important than the natural is spiritual. Delete the distraction, because what will happen is, Miss Kathy, listen to me, and listen to me good. Satan will send something your way. And you see, Satan will use that, and you will start to questioning, you will start to question your own womanhood as a parent. You'll be like, what did I do wrong, God? You didn't necessarily do nothing wrong, Miss Cassie. As a matter of fact, what did God do wrong? And we still sin. He did nothing wrong.
Right.
You follow me? So all you can do is lift your son up before God. Lift your son up before God. But before you lift him up before God, Miss Cassie, make sure you lift God up before him.
Amen.
Words. Not talking about the word of God only, but living the word of God daily. As for
Amen.
You, you in your house, you will serve the Lord. In other words, Miss Kathy, when your son come to your house, if your son living with you, if your son dot your door, and y'all know how we do it down south, when we say dot the door, that means when you come into my place, you're going to do according to my rules. Now, if you don't believe in the God that I serve, there's a front door, there's a back door, and there are also some windows. Okay? You can find an exit on any one of them. You don't see the exit sign, but I'll point you in the direction where I want you to go. See, what's more important, Miss Kathy, is that they see God and that you're not going to waver. Don't let the distraction of remorse start to set in that says that I'm not fit to be a parent and, oh, God, what can I do? Don't you know that child is looking at you and that child will start to play on your emotions?
Hmm.
Oh, Lord, y'all don't hit me.
Yeah, so true.
Miss Kathy, let me remind you of something called the prodigal son. He loved his son, too. His son had to get it together. Hit me, Miss Kathy. His son had to get it together and come back to daddy. Okay? So just because he say he don't believe in God, don't buy into that. Miss Kathy, let me encourage you in this way. Delete the distraction of this. Delete the distraction of the foolery. If he say he don't believe in God, for him to even acknowledge God says that he know there's a God.
Amen.
How about that, Miss Kathy?
That's right.
See, when people say I don't believe in God, right now he's fighting against it. That's okay. You keep on living for God. Don't be distracted. Keep your focus on God, Miss Kathy. I promise you. See, what all is supposed to be in God is going to come back to God. No matter how hard you want your son to be the way you want him to be, no, you put your son back in child, give him back to God and let God work him. But the way you give your son back to God is that you show him God everything through your verbiage, through your thinking, and through your not playing with him. You love him. But you chastise him in that love. How about that?
Amen.
All right. All right. What else we got real quickly before we get off the line? That was it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Y'all know how we do it, Miss Tiana, Mr. DJ. Watch what we do, y'all. All on Facebook Live. Okay? I've learned so much from you, Miss Cassie. Thank you. High five. I got you. Look, on Facebook Live, this is how we do it. Mr. DJ, you can ask Miss Tiana a question. Miss Candy. I mean, Miss Tiana, you're going to ask me a question, and I'm going to ask Mr. DJ a question. Y'all ready? Here
okay.
we go. Mr. DJ, go ahead and get your question. No, I'm going to go first. Let me go first. I'm going to ask Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, you ask Miss Tiana, and Miss Tiana, you ask me. Mr. DJ, my question to you, deleting distraction, okay, can rest, R-E-S-T, a distraction?
Can rest be a distraction?
Rest be a distraction.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, many a times, that's the first thing that we will use. We've been working so hard, so who the Lord knows my heart. I'm sleepy today. I'm not going to church. Or I'm not going to study the word. I'm tired. Even God rested, so I'm going to go ahead and rest, even though my rest is way longer than he is. So, yes, absolutely.
Rest can absolutely be a distraction. He is absolutely right. I'll take it to the scripture, okay? The scripture, remember what Jesus, y'all remember when he was going to pray? Huh? Y'all remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane? Right before they put him on the... Y'all remember that? And remember, they were so tired, and you see how we get emotional, and we distracted by people, oh, they need to rest. But God rebuked them for going to sleep when he gave them a direct command that said, stay up and pray with me. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Rest can absolutely be a distraction when God says to stay up. Ain't that something?
Yes, indeed.
And I ain't just talking about the physical rest. Because the Bible said that we should be vigilant. Because we never know the hour. Remember that? So although you may rest naturally, spiritually, you should always be woke. Okay. Mr. DJ, ask your question to Miss Tiana. What we got?
Miss Tiana, can an itty-bitty newborn, cute little bitty baby be a distraction?
Yes, they can. The baby, as a baby, baby requires that constant attention, right? Everything that it does, it's seeking their parents to do everything for them, right? But that doesn't mean that we should stop our conversations with God. It doesn't mean that we, in that instant, that we can't be introducing God to that child. What are the things that we're reading to the baby to go to sleep? What are the things that we're, what melodies are we playing for the baby to go to sleep? There's different ways that we can interact and still have our relationship with God and not be completely distracted by that newborn. So, yes, it can be.
Amen.
Baby, absolutely, huh?
Yes.
Got that? Everybody out there on Faith Bill Line?
Mr. Carr, my question. Oh,
hold on, Miss Tiana. I want Facebook Live. Can a baby be a distraction? Anybody? Everybody? Scream? Huh? Y'all know a baby can be a distraction. Y'all remember the story of Abraham and Isaac?
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all not paying attention yet? Remember the ram in the bush? See, that was a little boy. You know, that's my son, my one and only son, my baby, my baby, my baby. But Abraham, God, and Abraham was sure enough about to go kill Isaac because God said so. He didn't let the distraction of me being a proud father distract him from the mission. God stopped him. God just wanted to see how obedient he would be.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we don't have that Abraham syndrome. We have that baby. We go get baby clothes. We go get the baby. Especially as a boy, you know, we do the pimp of the year outfit. Boy, y'all know how we do it. That's my one and only son. He's going to be a junior. What? The legacy live on, boy? Live on. Ain't that something? And it can be a total distraction. Because if that child is for God, why then, when God says do what he wants you to do with them, do we withhold from doing just that? That can be a distraction. Miss Tiana, what's your question?
To simplify one I received today is, can our past experiences be a distraction for our today?
Oh, yes. That's simple. Yes, Y-E-S. Your past can be a distraction. Your past can also be an asset, but since the question was, can it be a distraction? Of course your past can be a distraction. Again, anything that takes your attention or focus off of God can be a distraction. In other words, we can focus on our past. And as a matter of fact, can anybody vouch for this? Everybody on Facebook Live, everybody on the phone, can y'all vouch for people who just won't let it go? I mean, you graduated.
Yes.
Are you still wearing your Letterman jacket? I know you was all safe. I mean, the right sleeve done fell off. What you doing? Huh? Hold on. I ain't done yet. Y'all don't get mad at me. Now, y'all know I'm going to keep it 100, all right? And a half. Watch this. It's a distraction I will pass. Your kids, your youngest child, hello, is 18 years old. What you still talking about baby fat? See, y'all want to be quiet on that. Ain't no baby fat. That's called L-A-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Y. That's lazy. And that's a distraction. No. Your past is a distraction. So we put a lot of things on our past to say, hey, hold on, fellas. Hold on. I'm sorry, women. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me get the fellas. My dude. Y'all, this is garlic call, yeah, okay. Mr. DJ.
Hey,
I asked that lady about, you know, they distracted me, you know what I'm saying, or I ate too much, you know, protein this morning. But I you know, because in the past I normally go a little longer. Don't believe that's your wife now. You don't have to lie to her. She know.
Mm.
She know you good for 3 minutes, and she love your 3 minute self. Okay, so stop talking about your past. She ain't never see that. Okay. Mr. DJ, she ain't never see that 30 minutes you've been promising her, but she still married you. So leave the past behind you, okay?
That's right.
All right. It's okay to laugh, y'all. All right. That being said, yes, what you got?
I just want, when you're done, I want to ask you a question.
Okay, what you got?
What is the biggest distraction in a church?
There's a number of big distractions, but primarily, I would, man, Mr. DJ, that's a strong one. But if I had to give one of the largest distractions, and y'all don't get mad at me, but one of the largest distractions in the church, because this is still church right here. We looking at, y'all looking at me. If I look like a man who eyes are like that, y'all see that? Toe up from the floor, teeth jacked up, would y'all be tuning in? Your pastor can be the distraction.
Maybe amen. They,
come on. How they look.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, listen to what I said. How they look, how they sound, how well they can articulate. You know how many people fall in love with their pastor? And especially
yep.
if the pastor don't have a ring on. Lord, have mercy. Oh! Y'all going for the word of God? Now, I ain't talking about just a man pastor. I'm talking about women pastors, too.
Amen.
Okay. One of the biggest distractions in the church. I said one of.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, that's subjective because some people say money, power, and all this other. But one of the biggest distractions is pastor. A pastor can use that distraction for the glory of God by saying, I'm not God. Listen to him. Mm-hmm. If you don't hear him through me, don't you listen to me. How about
Amen.
That?
Amen.
Y'all okay with that?
Yeah, okay. Subliminally, we look at the pastor as God. You don't see it,
mm-hmm.
and some may not admit to it. Even when you're
right.
little, you look at your pastor as being a human being or
right.
somebody that's a normal guy. You know, you look at that person as supposed to be pretty much perfect until you
right.
grow up and find out otherwise.
All right, on that note, y'all, I hope that everything was answered. You know, this topic again. Now, y'all going to have to catch us next Monday. Because we're doing another Monday Night Live. But this topic of deleting distractions has been a potent topic. Okay? In the meantime, in between times, take what you've heard and use it for your asset. Okay? Delete those distractions. Mr. DJ, you can go ahead and pray for us, please.
Sure. Bow your heads. Open up your hearts. Father, we ask that you come to us. We're on humbling knees, Father. We're coming to you in a way that we are supposed to, and we're asking you for basically a spiritual napkin of discipline and health, Father. We're coming to you saying thank you. Thank you for feeding us this knowledge on the line tonight, and let it manifest and nourish within us, Father. Help us to let it grow and to spread it, not to stay on it, Father. We don't want any credit or glory, but we want to give it all to you. We want to say thank you for our health and strength. Grant us traveling grace and mercy for those of us that are traveling, Father, and keep us on the path. Father, I want to say a special prayer for those of us that got kids that are going to school, and help us to be better parents. Help us to be there and be the example, not the distraction, and to help eliminate those distractions from our kids as well as our own daily lives. Help us to kill our own attitudes and what we want daily so that we can deny that and lift you up, Father. You said if we lift you up, then you will draw all men unto you, Father, and you're never wrong. We want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for everything. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Y'all have a great night. I appreciate everybody calling in. I don't live. Thank you, Mr. DJ. Thank you, Miss Tiana. And y'all, we're going to keep on doing our thing. Y'all have a great night. Check us out on SundayMorningBreakfast.org. That's O-R-G. And also catch us on Wednesday. We're on the line. We're not going to be on live. We're on the line. The number is 225-364-0211. Okay? That's Wednesday at 8 p.m. All right? And also Friday morning, we have prayer. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.